Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we will start today with our morning prayers. I'm going to have different ones read our prayers, so I'd like some of you out-of-town people to read it, too. You can find the prayer in the Love is the Liberator for May, and also page 279 of Miscellaneous Writing. Go ahead, Gary.
This is Mrs. Eddy's prayer given at the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. Oh, my God, I offer as a consecrated gift upon thine altar a heart dedicated to thy service, lips speaking only words of charity, love, and truth, thoughts striving to be only the true thoughts of the mind of God. Help me to endure unto the end, strong in the faith, powerful in the truth, all the influence that I can bring to bear, all the force of tongue or pen that is mine, I offer in thy service. May heaven help, consecrate, and accept. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind. For then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared.
Mary Baker Eddy. All right, our subject this morning is Christian Science. Golden Text, Revelation 22. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I would like to start first with our watching point of the week, which I think is very helpful. Go ahead, Linda.
Watch number 237. Watch, lest you accept the suggestion that it wearies you to think scientifically, and after you have done it for a while, you must find rest in relapsing into negative human thinking. We must reverse this absurd claim and establish the fact that mental weariness comes from absorbing mortal mind's false thinking, and that we find complete rest in the reflection of divine mind. On page 60 of our church manual by Mrs. Eddy, we find the following, quote, a Christian Scientist is not fatigued by prayer, by reading the scriptures, or the Christian Science textbook. Amusement or idleness is weariness. Truth and love rest the weary and heavy laden, end quote.
Thank you. Why is that so important to know and understand?
I know for me, I have had unnatural weariness when watches start that I've had to fight. So I know that it's come to you that way.
Absolutely.
Also, the misconception about doing work in Christian Science means it's arduous labor. That's not the truth about working with God.
I don't know how many times people have told me, oh, it's just so hard. It's so hard to keep my thought, you know, on the things of God. Has that come to you?
Yeah.
And people have even said, and I'm sure I thought it myself, it's so much harder to think the good thoughts than the bad thoughts. Why would in the world would that be? Why? Who says that?
That's the way the devil wants it.
Mm-hmm. Let's say that devil word.
I also think it's a bad habit to think negatively. Once you get into that bad habit, you get out of it.
That's very true.
It becomes like a friend or a familiar thing to do.
A familiar voice, even though it's the devil.
Well, and it's thinking negatively that wears you out. But we have all found that when we're about to do something for God, something, you know, to publish something or to sit down and write a lesson or to print something, there's going to be opposition. Oftentimes the opposition is, oh my gosh, I feel so tired, maybe I'll take a nap first.
Even been wide awake right before, 5 minutes before, and as soon as the watch starts, all of a sudden I'm fighting. It's uncanny, because if it wouldn't be so obvious that I was perking awake 5 minutes before, mm-hmm. I wouldn't recognize it.
What were you going to say, Fairly?
Well, I was just going to say something similar in that, not quite the same. I find it very enlivening to be so involved in writing lessons and readings and things. I find it very exciting and fun.
Oh, good.
And it is. It is. Once you break the mesmerism and get started, it does refresh you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's wonderful work. I mean, it's really enlivening.
Yeah, it does strengthen you. It's just that to get to that point, you have to break through the mesmerism that's kind of try to keep you from getting there.
This is very important, because this shows how ERA works on you. It gets you to accept the thought that it's easier to think negatively. And as Gary just said, it's not easier, it's more exhausting. Anybody knows that. I'm sure you all know that. When you think negatively, it's exhausting. It wears you out mentally and physically.
It's paralyzing.
Yes. But the trick of the devil, and I'll call it the devil because it seems to be at this point, is to get you to think the lie is true. That's what's so wonderful about Carpenter and his watching points. I mean, he's breaking this lie. And what Jeffrey said is absolutely right. It gets to be a habit, and a habit is, it's lazy. In order to break a habit, you have to not be lazy.
It's also wonderful to know that we're not the first one that had to go through it.
Nor the last.
Nor the last.
It's a discipline. You can't just, here comes the thorn, I'm not going to do anything about it. You move to discipline yourself to handle it.
Yes. That's where the fighting spirit comes in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think part of what gives the enthusiasm for me is to just think that I'm giving something. Whatever I'm doing, I'm giving something as God's will. So that somehow gives me some enthusiasm, really.
Right.
I like the part about out of the manual, a Christian Scientist is not fatigued by prayer, by reading the scriptures, or the Christian Science textbook. And there have been times when that has kind of zoned out. But the next part is, amusement or idleness is weariness. Truth and love rest the weary and the heavy laden. And I found that amusement or idleness really does make you more tired.
It really does.
I've also found that there's another kind of discouragement in the middle of writing a lesson. I'll get the thought, I can't do this. I mean, I'm no good with this subject. I can't do it. You know, that has come to me.
Well, and that is true. You can't do it.
And it comes to everyone who has ever tried to write a lesson.
And that's when you have to get you out of the way and know who is doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, I overcome it, but that thought comes.
Right. Well, true. It's true with everything we do. We have to get rid of the thought that we are doing it and knowing that God is doing it. God is working. And then, too, you get your energy, your refreshment, your joy, your enthusiasm, because you're allowing God to work through you. So this is a very important point, because I hear it often, and that it's so hard. It's so much harder to think the right thought. So much harder to memorize the 91st Psalm than to think of all the horrible things that happened in your past. Now, that is just a ploy of the devil. And when you're sleepy and non-alert, you will listen to it and you will become mesmerized and in a hypnotic state of mind, which is the Adam dream. You don't listen to it and you fight it, you will stay in the right mind. Your life will be joyful and happy and healthy in every way.
And you will be refreshed and not tired.
Yes. So, very important watching point. Please, please familiarize yourself with it and don't let that argument get to you. If you're thinking on it, it just shows you're in a state of mesmerism.
I think that's another reason to get into this work and keep doing this work. That way you just sort of have to handle it once, and then you just, you know, you keep going. You know, every time you stop, then you got to handle it again, like it's the same big wall or whatever.
That's true. And that statement, what, you give a busy man something to do and he'll get it done. Oh, keep active, Mrs. Eddy says that. Keep active, and no matter how slow, you will reach the goal. But you have to keep active. You can't get lazy and slow down, or these thoughts will catch up to you.
And the work is mental. The work is keeping your antenna open to listening for what God is giving you. Sometimes you know, it's not a matter of physically doing something necessarily all the time. But mentally, praying for our church, our nation, our world, whatever needs prayer, there's always something for us to do. We'll never be without appointment, Mrs. Eddy says.
Yes. No, that's one thing Elsie's always saying, because Elsie does a lot of watches during the day. So many things to be working on and handling. So no one can ever say they don't have anything to do. That's just total self-centered garbage.
That a working Christian Scientist cannot be handled.
What was that?
Yes.
Is that a working Christian Scientist cannot be handled because you're working all the time.
That's right. Stay demesmerized. Stay active.
Devil can't hit a moving target.
Right.
The saying, idleness is a tool of the devil.
Yes. Yes, it is. And yet, you know, people think that that's what you want. Peter V. Ross, it's on our website, I'm sure, wrote this article, the Siren
Call of Siren Call of Ease.
Pardon me?
Siren Call of Ease.
Yes, the Siren Call of Ease. Ease, E-A-S-E. Yes. And it is a siren call. Tries to get you to think you want to retire, you want to do nothing, you just want to play golf for the rest of your life, and how utterly boring. So, okay, we'll get back to the lesson. There's so much I need to cover today. So, Golden Text, Revelation 22. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. We had a few people who wrote about the responsive reading in the forum, which I think we'll get into. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So, Gary, you want to mention what you wrote about? And Suzanne, too, if she's here.
Yeah, it's our works, it's not our words that matter, and we do get rewarded for the work that we do or don't do. And I said at first the rewards come quickly. Well, the Christ consciousness comes quickly, and our mental reward for doing good is a clear conscience, a sense of peace, a sense of dominion, our reward for disobedience is a troubled conscience and
exhaustion,
exactly, and fear. And whether we get our human material reward quickly or not doesn't matter. It's whatever promotes our spiritual growth that matters. Whether we get our human material reward quickly or
Dan,
not.
That's you. Suzanne has to turn off our computer. Suzanne, do you want to say anything now that I know you're there?
I just had to switch from the computer to the phone. I love this this quote, the reward for disobedience to God is a disturbed conscience and a sense of fear, even though your human condition may feel comfortable by all human standards. I feel like I lived like that for years, just sort of this nagging kind of disturbance in the back of your mind saying something's not quite right. And the only thing that took care of that was, being obedient to God. Took me several decades to get on board. But being obedient to God, to me, means being a true Christian Scientist, not a fake one. I didn't mean to be a fake one all those years, but I just never really took it to heart in the way that this church teaches, which means you just are honest with yourself and you put God first and at the center of everything you do the best you know how, and then everything else falls into place. My life fell into place after I learned that, and it took me about 7 years, eight, 6 years after coming to the church to get it straight, but I did. So I thank the church for turning me around, and I'm learning every day, but there's no more disturbed conscience and the sense of fear, like something bad might happen because I'm not truly on board. But and I did have this charmed life. From the outside, it looked like everything was fine. So I just wanted to say that.
Wonderful, thank you. And I can say ditto to that.
And I think we can all relate. I sort of, relate to that. But this is, this requires work. It requires patience. It requires a commitment. It requires, an honesty that... being honest to yourself, and then to others, and to God. And then, it's like you're on board, going in the right direction.
As we read last week, it is the obedience which is the reflection. So if you're not obeying, well, then
you're
not doing
it. There's no reflection. The obedience has to be. And this is what was also in this week's lesson about imbibing the word, the written words of the Bible and of science and health. Imbibing them, that's obedience to it. And if you don't do that, you're nowhere, even though you put a false front up.
Yeah, why does she use the word imbibe, the Spirit, to refer to it?
I think it is.
Yeah, when you imbibe something, it's food, it's your nourishment, it's your,
part of you.
It becomes part of you. And what we should recognize is that it is the Spirit of God that is the essence of our being. We should be imbibing it.
Yeah, and what did few of you wrote some really good things on imbibe. I know Florence, what did you say about that? And Bruce as well. So divinely imbued were they with the spirit of science that the lack of the letter could not hinder their work, and that letter without the spirit would have made void their practice. Mrs. Eddy is talking about the ancient inspired healing. Arth, what were you saying about that?
I was saying that that section of that citation really stands out because it's saying even though they didn't have the letter to read and, you know, what Mrs. Eddy has explained to us, they must have had the spirit of, you know, whatever they knew in the scripture. And therefore, or it is their living, is the spirit that worked in them. They had the spirit of the word.
Thank you so much.
And with that, they were, and like example I gave was the Shunammite woman, who really is like a natural Christian Scientist, because she must have had the spirit to be able to resist the lie that my son is dead. No, 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 he said. So, well, the spirit is most important. The letter is important, yes, but the spirit most.
Most important, and Mrs. Eddy certainly says this in this statement, and I don't think I ever saw it so clearly till this week, that the letter without the spirit would have made void their practice. So for all those who just read and read and read and memorize and study and study and study and do not have the spirit, you cannot practice it.
Don't blame science for not working.
I read it. and
that can go on for years.
Yes, it can. We've all experienced all these things. That's why we don't say any of this in any way of judgment, because it's all because we know. And it still will happen again if that's what we do, get where we're just reading about it and not living it, not imbibing it. Bruce, did you want to say anything?
Pretty much echoes what you said, because what I said was, you know, in today's day and age when so much emphasis in education is on educational processes, without the spirit, you actually even will oppose this book, Science and Health, which came, and we know how it came about. It came as direct revelation from God to Mary Baker Eddy. And I considered that a very, very sacred event when she sat alone with her maker and received this revelation. But those that don't have any sense of the spirit would oppose it.
Thank you. Yeah, you wrote that beautifully on the forum, how Mrs. Eddy received it. A scribe under orders, that she knew it wasn't her. This goes back to understanding that she was the woman in the apocalypse, appreciating her and her place, as well as we appreciate Christ Jesus' place. It all makes sense. It all falls into place.
And it does so for the benefit of all of us.
So not to harm us.
Yeah, so that we can know better, understand better, and live better. It's all a matter of, lifting the veil.
When I first attended a Christian Science church on a Wednesday night, found it rather odd, or maybe even irritating, how everybody kept talking about Mary Baker Eddy. And as time went on, I recognized her humility in humbleness and saying that she was a scribe under orders and it was all God. And I think one of the problems with the early movement was that so many thought it was themselves that were doing the work and didn't recognize it. As Gilbert Carpenter says, that they were on the coattails of Mrs. Eddy. And I think that did a great harm. So it's so important to be grateful to her and also the teachings here at Plainfield, that because I was one of those that read and read and read and didn't get any place, and got a little incrementally better, but it's really been amazing the last 2 years. It really is working so much better, and I'm so grateful for that.
Thank you. This week I got another book from Bob in Colorado called Release, It's by a Star Daily, S-T-A-R-R, two R's, Daily. It's a story, I haven't read the whole thing, but I've read enough of it. It's a story about a man who had a terrible childhood, I would say. Probably not that unsimilar to Luann. Anyway, he found himself in prison as a lifer. He said he hated everyone. He just had no love in his heart. He hated everyone he could think of. He certainly hated the guards. He hated everybody in the prison. And they didn't know what to do with him. They would cuff his hands up above his arms all day, I guess, to keep him out of trouble. I don't know what. But then at night they would release him, and he said usually he would just fall on the ground, kind of in total misery. And one night when he was doing that, I guess you would say he had a visitation. The Christ came to him, and he said he just felt this unspeakable peace and the sense of love just washed over him entirely. And he said that he felt like all the hate that had been in him poured out of him like a black liquid. And he was totally changed. Now, he didn't even ask for this. You know, it wasn't like he was on his knees crying out to God or anything. It just came. I'm not sure of his exact date, but he was around when Mrs. Eddy was around. He is no longer here. But he surpassed her, but he lived around that time. I'm just saying this because I can't help but think our prayers and thoughts go out. I know some of you specifically pray for those in prison, those such as this, can have tremendous effects. Maybe those effects we will never know. Mrs. Eddy certainly talks about the love glancing in the prison cell, doesn't she, in Signs and Health? Well, so anyway, he next day was transformed. And first the guards, I'm sure, were rather surprised. They couldn't deny the change in him. Eventually he was put in, I think, in a cell with someone who had also been in prison a long time, who had found God and who was teaching the Bible and things about God to other prisoners. So, anyway, the story, of course, is wonderful. This man eventually becomes free and does tremendous work. But while in the prison, and the reason that Bob sent the book to me is because of Linda's story last week of how she was loving a little boy in the subway and the effect that love, violent love, had on that little boy. So when this man was in the prison, he wondered, well, what could he do? You know, what could he do for God in the prison? What would there be to do? And he said, he thought he could love. So all the people that he'd been hating, he decided to just pour out flood tides of love, as we talked about last week. He loved the guards. He loved everybody he could think of. And he felt it sincerely in his heart, because after this Christ visitation, it had changed him so. And he said everyone around him began to change, the people that he hated, and they became actually interested in God was one thing that happened. But they had a wonderful relationship. It just changed everything. Now, this is imbibing the truth. It's imbibing love, the power that it has. This person knew nothing of Christian Science. Yes, eventually he did learn about the Bible, but it was that sense of love that came over him. And in it, there's something where someone, I'm not sure who I'm quoting here, but it says, your love of God is his love of you in action. As your love goes out to man in a godlike way, it is his love expressing itself through you. You are with God when you express his love. You have but one obligation in the world, to let God's love transform your love. And what does that sound like? Have you heard those words? Is that not Christian Science? And is that not the scripture? Now, this is a beautiful lesson written by Elizabeth in which it's over and over and over and over again how the scripture was the basis of everything Mrs. Eddy wrote in Science and Health, that it corresponds exactly. And what does the scripture say about love?
God is love.
God is love. And can you love God if you don't do what?
Your fellow man.
Yes. I mean, what was written here in this book called Release was, you know, chapter John. It's also what Mrs. Eddy said. Get yourself out of the way and let that love come through you. How many Christian Scientists do this or know to do it? And yet here this guy in a prison cell is getting it. Don't count yourself out. Please. You have all the tools to do this. And how stupid of you if you don't. And you have no one to blame but yourself. So, please don't tell me you don't have anything to do. As we said yesterday at the Bible study, Mrs. Eddy said, you can always work for the birds, the animals, the environment. I've said there was a time in my life when I thought I didn't have anything else to do. That's all I did. I prayed. I watched. I worked. I disciplined my thought. A tremendous, tremendous time. And I wouldn't allow myself to think I had nothing to do or that I was useless, as I heard the other day someone saying. I wouldn't allow myself to think that. That again, who says that? Does God tell you you're useless? I don't think so. So please don't have a conversation with anyone but your Father in heaven who loves you. Now, I do want to say also in responsive reading, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, Shardy wrote something beautiful from Kratzer on there. And also what Bob wrote, which I would like to use as a watch. Could you read it, Linda?
Kratzer's first?
No, first.
Okay. Bob. Okay. This is a post from Parsons called The Bright and Morning Star. Quote, I am the bright and morning star, end quote. And then he takes the definition of evening from Science and Health, which is mistiness of mortal thought, weariness of mortal mind, obscured views. Then Parsons writes, Mrs. Eddy's revelation has come at such an evening time in the experience of Earth's civilization. So let me continually watch and pray mightily in the spirit of the, quote, Mother's Evening Prayer, end quote. And then he writes, keep thou my child on upward wing tonight. Which means, keep thou her child, Christian Science, on an upward wing tonight, to hasten the dawning of the day star of science in the hearts of more and more people, everywhere, every moment, every day. Let me make sure that, quote, God owns each waking hour, end quote, of my life, that he possesses more of each of those hours to make sure each moment of communion with God in this matter is more powerful and effectual than the last.
That's just beautiful. That should be our daily prayer for this truth. Keep thou my child on upward wing tonight. I know many of us have prayed that prayer for various reasons. But to know this is Mrs. Eddy's child of Christian Science. What this will do to unlock what has been cast over it. Malpractice. So we will have it in our next Tuesday watch. And I'd like you all to work with it in your individual watch. Because it is a mighty prayer and a truthful prayer. And, you know, the way he says it, too, to work mightily. And we must work mightily. And no, this is the truth. So God is going to prosper this. Why would he not? This is his truth. Anyone else on anything or anything in the Bible section?
I just wanted to make a comment about the prisoners in the state of Georgia, in one of the counties not too far from Atlanta this week. A sheriff's deputy had a work detail out in the heat. It was very, very hot, and he collapsed. And all of the six prisoners that were on the detail ran to his aid. One of them grabbed his phone and called 911, and another one took his bulletproof vest off and removed his gun holster from him and wanted to do CPR, but it wasn't needed. But every one of them was asked, why didn't you flee? Why didn't you just run away? And they said, we never thought about it. We just thought about helping him, which was their goal. And because of that, their sentences have been reduced, been cut short. This was a work detail, not, you know, hardened prisoners or anything. But I thought that was a really great example of what you were just talking about.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. It's a wonderful example. Brings tears to my eyes. That's why we must never forget those in prison. Just like this person, Star Daly, who had such a horrific background. It's interesting. Luann worked in a prison. But anyway, no one is beyond God's help. If we're praying and knowing this, we'll find it to be true. And as we know, man's extremity is God's opportunity. And this man was very, very extreme. He also gives an interesting illustration later in the book about, people say, well, how, you know, my conditions are just so awful. How can I think properly? And he gives the illustration, and we heard it in the story of John Wyndham in the prison. You know, Paul the Apostle, where did he do much of his writing? In the Roman prison, which my understanding was the worst. But his point in this book is that when your thought is so full of the Christ Spirit, you will forget your surroundings, however miserable they might be. You will ascend above those surroundings. In these cases, these people were being creative. They were writing, as Paul was, as this example was, someone was writing. Think about it. Certainly that happened to John Wyndham. He refused to think of the negative thoughts. He refused to hate. And he transported himself. And actually Luann would talk about that. She would, as a child, she would transport herself to someplace else than that terrible place she seemed to be in. So that is what it means when that saying is, if I ascend unto hell, behold what?
Thou
art there. You know darn well it's what Daniel and the lion's den did, the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Transcended their horrible environment. It's all mental. And in doing that, you actually do lift yourself up out of the situation, eventually, not immediately. Oh, my goodness, I have so much more to say. Okay, number one in science and health. Bruce.
The scriptures are very sacred. Our aim must be to have them understood spiritually. For only by this understanding can truth be gained. It is this spiritual perception of Scripture which lifts humanity out of disease and death and inspires faith.
Wow, well, that's just what we were saying. And it doesn't necessarily take the letter to do it. In the case of John Wyndham, who was a prisoner of war, he said all these statements of truth that he had never really memorized, but they all came to him in that situation. They just came to him, these truths. And it is helpful to have those truths in you. But if you don't, just thinking the right, the enduring the good and the true will lift you out of it. And again, it's important. Scriptures are sacred. We have to have them understood spiritually. It doesn't mean we just throw them out and say, well, I don't get it, or, you know, they make God sound wrathful, so I don't want to read the scriptures. What does Mrs. Eddy say later about the scriptures? They are the chart of what? Life. You know what's revealed to us in studying it every time we have a Bible class.
Well, you know, I find it useful to remember why these people wrote these things down, you know, hundreds and thousands of years ago. But what we know now is the Bible was written because somebody experienced the presence of God. Somebody was inspired. They experienced something very inspiring. So they wrote it down. So today we have a choice. We can either read it with inspiration and feel the inspiration with which it was written and feel God's presence and power and get the lesson that God was giving to those who wrote it hundreds and, you know, thousands of years ago. Or we can try to take it literally and pick it apart, wonder whether it really happened or not, wonder if there's really proof anywhere that it actually happened.
Scholarly consensus, intellectuality.
In which case, you're not going to get the spiritual lesson out of it if you take that approach, so why bother?
Heart, not the head.
Yes, always.
Yeah.
Carol, read the first paragraph of citation 5.
In following these readings of scientific revelation, the Bible was my only textbook. The scriptures were illumined. Reason and revelation were reconciled, and afterwards, the truth of Christian Science was demonstrated. No human pen nor tongue taught me the science contained in this book, Science and Health, and neither tongue nor pen can overthrow it.
Thank you. That we must remember. She is giving all credit to God. No pen nor tongue taught me the science, and nor can it be overthrown. And boy, has it been tried, hasn't it? That would be another good thing for our watches, to know this with all our hearts mightily, as Bob said. Know these truths. So we are going to switch gears again, but this lesson is over and over again the importance of the scripture. I've had many tell me that they never really knew the Bible. Well, it's time that we all do know the Bible. Why, we do have the Bible studies, and I thank Tom very much for continuing the Bible studies, and all of you who join us and moderate, because it is highly important we get the deeper understanding of it. And as she says here, how do you progress most rapidly in your understanding? Study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit. Adhere to the divine principle of Christian Science and follow the behest of God, abiding steadfastly in wisdom, truth, and love. Simple statement, but we have to study it thoroughly, and that includes the scriptures, and then we have to imbibe it, as we've talked about today.
And then we have to adhere to the principles that we learn. And then we have to continually, he has of God, continually listen to him. And then when we get his wisdom, we have to abide steadfastly in it. Don't take a vacation from God.
Now we are going back to our What Prospers Healing by David Keiston, the importance of recognizing Mrs. Eddy, her place, not adulating her, but understanding who and what she is.
Why is it important to recognize Mary Baker Eddy in relation to her discovery? Is it not because it is essential for students of Christian Science to understand the biblical authority for Christian Science? Our leader was clear that personality worship was the farthest thing from and the greatest impediment to true spiritual growth and understanding the scriptures. Yet she was equally as forthright concerning the necessity of recognizing her divinely ordained status as the revelator of truth prophesied by Jesus. It is true that during her time, she saw the necessity of keeping this hidden from mortal mind. Her statements on this topic clearly show that the truth of this understanding must be brought to light to the spiritually receptive thought. For example, see the April 2, 1997 issue of the Christian Science Standard for other statements on this topic, available by writing to P.O. Box 27539, Denver, Colorado. Will you recognize, accept, promote, and defend her divinely ordained authority in the treatment of your patients? Will you handle the carnal mind's hatred of her, the lie of deification and personality worship? This ruse of animal magnetism has deceived the very elect. Those that would destroy Christian Science know this is the most effective way to stop the healing, decimate our churches, and destroy the cause of truth. Will you help correct this sacrilege? The Julia Field King, Mrs. Eddy, remarked on November 26, 1897, "People seem to understand Christian Science in the exact ratio that they know me and vice versa. It sometimes astonishes me to see the invariableness of this rule." If we do not understand, demonstrate Christian Science, do we understand her? No. If Christian Scientists are not demonstrating Christian Science as it was demonstrated 80, 50, or 30 years ago, do we have the proper understanding of her or her writing? We cannot understand one without the other. This becomes obvious to any seeker who is familiar with works available by contemporary authors on Mrs. Eddy from her own church today, versus what was known, accepted, and promoted in her church by her loyal students at the turn of the century.
Thank you. So, much to think about and much work to do. And it does require work, but it's glorious work. There's no greater work to do. So now we will go forward and have another tremendous service full of the presence and power of God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.